Thank you so much. It's great to be here. This is Donna. This is my wife. We've been married for 30 years. I can't remember now. So many, I can't remember. 31, apparently. Plus five. We also have to say plus five. We started dating when we were quite young. And we got married on the exact same day that we started going out together. So that's romantic, isn't it? Yeah. We have one beautiful daughter who's going to be amazing and a world changer and a fire starter. And Donna is a prophet to the nations. So I love the fact that she's been brought to the nations and we go to the nations together to release the song of our heart and the sounds of our lives and the words of the Father's heart for wherever we go. I'm assuming the preacher's pose. I've been working on it. I'm still working on it. just so you know a little bit about me. When I was at school, my teachers would write, if Alan would stop messing around and playing the fool, he'd be a really good student. And I was known as a joker and loved making people laugh and still do. See, joy is one third of the kingdom. And seriousness is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit, I have to say. So we're here to be joyful, happy, shiny, smiling, laughing people because that's attractive to the world. The world sees enough distress and pain and struggles. But we have the hope of the nations. We have the desire of the nations. Christ is in us the hope of glory, and we're here to release that love, that grace, that kindness. And it's fun. It really is fun. It's called joyfare, not warfare. If you're not enjoying it, you're doing it wrong. So I just want to kind of bring some freedom, I guess, this morning. I have a message, I think. This is my dilemma. Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. And so we can make all our best plans and we can prepare our best messages. And then the Holy Spirit comes in from a different direction and goes, I want to do this now. And if we're so set on our strategy or our plan and our way of doing things, we'll miss what God wants to do in the moment. So I just love to lean into the Spirit and what God's doing and go with the flow of that. So if you can come with me, that would be great. But at the beginning of the year, God really put in my heart about breakthrough. And we've been in a few places where we've just been able to pray and release breakthrough and see that. Because God is the Lord of the breakthrough. And that's his promise. So I'm going to go after that this morning. A message behind and how to see that God is the breakthrough for your life. There's two things that happen in life, right? Mark Twain wrote this. He said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. So what are you on this earth for? Insert blank. I am here to be a world changer. One of the primary callings on my life, I know, is to lead people into a life-transforming encounter in his presence. I get to host him, and people get to come into that environment. You know, this is a house of worship, and it always has been, because this man's heart is for the presence. Now, the presence isn't an amorphous blob, the fourth part of the Trinity. The presence is God. The presence is his face. It's his nature. It's all he is. So if our focus and our attention is on his presence, then we're getting all he is. And I want to tell you, it is worth it. Yes. It is worth pursuing. It is worth letting everything else go to host his presence. Because the world will tell you, or the church will tell you, churchianity say, we need to be seeker-centered. We need to be this. We need to be that. And some of those things are very good and very effective in different ways. But we're here to raise up sons and daughters, and sons and daughters are formed in the arms of the Father. And it's the spirit of adoption that helps us cry, Abba. And it's Abba is the intimate daddy, papa, I don't know whichever vernacular you want to use here. But I say dad, and I have a really good dad. And when I pray to my heavenly dad, I know he hears my voice. Because we're all children of a really good dad. And he is good all the time. And when we make it our mission, like David did, to in the fire of God's refining, he was consumed down to one thing. One thing have I desired, one thing do I seek, that I would dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. And it's in his house, in his presence, is the fullness of joy. In his presence is the power to heal. In his presence is the enveloping arms of the Father. In his presence, the Spirit will move on you. In his presence is Jesus. And he is all we need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be established in you. Everything else will fall into place, is my paraphrase. You know, we might be asking for this, that, or the other. We might be asking for a situation in our family. We might be asking for a new car, a new whatever. We might be asking for practical things. We might be asking for spiritual things. We might be asking for physical things, but we'll find them in Jesus. We'll find them in the presence. And so I bless this house because you are hosting the presence. It is worth it. It is worth the cost. It is worth the sacrifice, because this place is a beacon to the lost, the hurting and the broken. This place is a light on a hill. And I bless you to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is resting on each one of you and on this house to release a sound that will vibrate in the atmosphere. When we sing songs in here, the vibration is released into the atmosphere. There is a quantum thing that happens that I really am still trying to work out what that looks like. But I'm hearing great testimonies, Megan. Thank you for sharing your wonderful stories of when we go and when we release our sound, the world is changed around us. We can release the peace of God. We can release the healing nature of God. We release who God is. When you come to God, you get from him who he is. It's his nature to heal. It is his nature to provide. It is his nature to give us everything we need in every situation. Our problem is we're trying to work it out. We're trying to stress it out. We're trying to fix it, especially the men. It's our job to fix things. I am a man. I will fix things. What is wrong? I will fix it. You're crying. I will fix you. And women just saying, no, just listen to me. Just listen to me. You don't have to fix me. Just hear my heart and love me. Give me a cuddle and say it's going to be okay. But when we lean on him and not on our own understanding, then everything changes. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Because God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. And it doesn't matter what our situations say. It doesn't matter what our circumstances say. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. It doesn't matter what our best friends are saying. God is good. He is really good. He is extraordinarily good. He is unfairly good. He is gooder than you can imagine. That's terrible English, but I'm okay with that. He is better than you can ask or imagine, and he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine through his power at work in us. Where's that power working? It's not in someone else. It's working in us. We're here to release the kingdom, to see the kingdom come in all its fullness. We were praying and singing that out this morning spontaneously. Let your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is the king's domain. When we say let your kingdom come, we're saying Jesus rule and reign in every situation, circumstance, and everything we're facing. Come and be all that you are in our midst. Amen. And we say, let heaven come. Everything that belongs to heaven is a part of heaven. We're inviting it to come and be in this place. So there is no sickness in heaven. So therefore, there should be no sickness on earth. Amen. Or pain or suffering or dis-ease or lack of peace. See, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your and in Christ Jesus. So if you don't have the peace of God, what's exposed? Why are we stressed? Why are we anxious? Why are we fearful? When we have everything we need and we're connected to him who knows no impossibility. Yet we lose sight of him in an instant because I've got a flat tire. Something's gone wrong. My fridge is broken. My coffee machine doesn't work properly. Ah, the end of the world. What am I going to do? I'm just kidding with you. But you know what I mean. We lose sight of the provider. But he is our provider. He is everything we need. He is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? And he that is in the world is less than he that is in us. God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. you know, a song about that. And so things can happen in life. See, when you find out who you are, that's your calling, that's your destiny. You know who you are, you know what you're here for. I'm here to change the world one person at a time. Everyone can change someone's history. Preachers will make great evangelistic statements. They stretch the truth a little bit. But what they're trying to do is put some tension into your life to propel you forward into what is possible. And they'll say things like, you're never going to be the same again from this moment on. And you know, there's truth in that, because part of you will never be the same again after one encounter with Jesus. We're transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. So every time we encounter him, there's an opportunity for transformation in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we behave, in who we are, because God's worked on an area of our life. You know, we have our hearts broken in different ways from time to time. But my God is in the business of binding up the brokenhearted. Amen. See, our part of that agreement or arrangement is we just have to bring him all the pieces. Yes. The problem is we hold on to some, we're bitter, we're unforgiving, we're frustrated, we're angry with someone and say, you can have these and bind those up, but you can't have this one because I'm holding on to it, it's mine. And I want to be in pain, I want to be angry. And I want to be angry at that person. I'm never, ever going to talk to them ever again. I'm talking to myself at the moment. Donna knows what I'm talking about. But we've got to let him bind up our hearts so we can be whole, so we can be free, so we can step into the fullness of who we are and bring that to bear in the earth. We're in a distribution business. As we were driving down 81, we kept seeing these enormous hubs of distribution. That just reminds me of the kingdom. Great places of the bounty and the provision of heaven. All we have to do is drive up our big truck, back it in there. Beep, 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 beep. Fill it up, Lord. We're going to distribute the kingdom. Love, grace, kindness, compassion, food. You know, practical stuff. Meet people's needs. Answer the question they're asking before you try and answer the question that they're not asking. Does that make sense? If they're hungry, feed them. Don't let me tell you about Jesus, but I'm hungry. Oh, here, have some food. Because in him is everything you need. And I know you guys do amazing stuff, but I just want to encourage you that nothing, no single thing is impossible. He is the master of the breakthrough. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. He is the provider. He is the giver of everything we need. There is more than enough in him. And all that we need is in him. And so we lean on him and say, manifest your magnificence amongst us. Excuse me. At the beginning, Jesus said to his disciples two words. Just imagine you're there with your business. It's going really well. I'm fishing business. Come, you're a fish. I've got lots of fish. Come and get my fish. It's a musical, apparently. Da, da, da. And then Jesus comes along the shore, looks you in the eyes and says, follow me. And he walks away. And in an instant, one glance of his glory eyes has changed everything for you, because you've just seen the possibilities of eternity in one glance. And you're prepared to just kind of go, you know, this means nothing to me anymore. I was the singing fisherman. Now I'm going to follow the the Savior. Because there's a song in my heart that needs to be sung around the world. Come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. So Jesus said, follow me. That invitation is still as vibrant and as full of promise as it was 2,000 years ago on Lake Galilee. There's a follow me that Jesus is saying. Follow me. Follow me into the rest homes. Follow me into the streets. Follow me into the coffee shops. And let's see the kingdom be released. Follow me into the daily grind and release songs that are going to change people's lives, because they're sung from truth and they're sung from the heart. Don't give up. I know you're saying, don't be disappointed. Don't be frustrated. Go after it. What you're talking about this morning is it. We need to release a prophetic sound on the earth. and it's the song of our hearts, not the song of someone else's hearts. Yeah, these guys can train us, they can equip us, they can inspire us. You get inspired by singing other people's words, but ultimately you need to sing your own. And we sing the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs. The songs from the book that we know, the songs from the overflow of our heart, and then the songs from heaven that come out as a prophetic decree that shifts the atmosphere. The enemy is known as the prince and the power of the air. That's why Jesus described him. When we worship, we change the vibration in the air and the enemy gets confused. When we release a prophetic sound, the enemy falls upon himself and is scattered. Go for it, bro. It's life on that. So there's an invitation, and then there's more. My spiritual father, one of them anyway, is Dr. Randy Clark, and it's our honor and privilege to represent Global Awakening on our side of the pond in Europe, in the UK and Europe, and there are more churches and ministries and leaders of ministries that are coming to be part of that, relationally connected in the kingdom. And we suddenly find out we're able to do more together than we ever were on our own. And he said, oh, this is God's plan. Crossing streams, crossing rivers, crossing denominations, all together for one purpose. We're here to get the bride, to get her for the kingdom together. We're here to get the bride, the pure and spotless bride. And we spend a lot of time throwing mud at the bride and tearing at the dress of the bride. And criticizing the bride because that bride doesn't look the same as our bride. It's just a part of the bride. We are the bride. Honor releases life. And as the prophet from the Walt Disney movie spoke in Bambi, I believe it was. I think it's Bambi's mum. Or maybe it'd been, if you can't say, no, it was Thumper, wasn't it? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's prophetic. Honor one another and see life released. Honor releases life. Honor your father and mother and all will be well with you. It's the same principle. It's kingdom principles. So Jesus is saying, I will give you more, but you wouldn't be able to bear the weight of it. There's more glory, more revelation, more wisdom to understand. And what I can carry on my own is good. But Jesus is going, I've got more for you, Alan. But you need to be connected to this person. You need to be connected to Wellspring in Virginia. This is exciting. We're here. I've never been to Virginia before. What a beautiful state this is. Amen. And I love this time of the year. I'm looking around, I'm seeing color, I'm seeing new life. This is a prophetic moment. If you can't drive to church and not think, there is new life everywhere I look. Amen. There is new color bursting forth. This is a sign that God is bringing and releasing new life among you. It's beautiful. This is a day. And so God wants to join us together heart to heart. He wants to connect us in his kingdom. I was chatting to the pastor of Life Center, and he was talking about the God box. I think that's a cool expression. I'm going to steal that. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Agreement, you know, all these lovely, he just calls it the God box. The manifest presence of God on the earth. See, when David went to bring that back into Jerusalem, just at the start of his reign, he did it the way the Philistines did it. They had it on a cart. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with it. Everywhere it went, it was causing all sorts of problems. And they kind of go, you can have it back. We don't want it anymore. And it got stuck in a shed somewhere and put over a tarpaulin or something and forgotten about. And David said, I want that back in the heart of my nation. And so they picked it up from the cart, drove it along, and we know the story that it was going to fall, and Uzzah put his hand out, and he was slain, and David went, woo, we're doing something wrong, let's go back and work it out. So he works out that there is a way to carry the glory of God, and it's on the shoulders of the Levites. And between the shoulders of the Levites are the poles that go through the holes in the thingies, whatever those are called. Technical people tell me, help me. So on the side of the God box are little rings and the rods are slipped through. And say they lift up the glory and put it on his shoulders. See, what God showed me is that the strength of our relationship is like the rods that suspend the God box, the Ark of the Covenant. And the stronger our relationships are, the more glory we will be able to carry. the more wisdom and revelation that Jesus will reveal to us. So our relationships are key. And that's what's exciting about the preparing and the getting ready for the day of prayer in the region, is because you're gathering together the bride, one in spirit and purpose. That's what we're here to be. There is a commanded blessing in unity. So why do you think the enemy has tried so hard to divide us, even in our own church families? Because he doesn't want us to agree, and he doesn't want us to be unified. Because when we do, he realizes there is a commanding blessing. There is nothing he can do about it. And then the sound is released, and the power is released, and people are getting healed, and people are getting saved, and saved. And before you know it, it's revival. And there is a revival that's happening. And yes, there are hot spots of revival around the earth. There are people getting saved in thousands in different nations. We just never hear about it. We think, oh, we're the only one left alive. Like, it's only me and no one else. What are we going to do? You know, do you think God is in heaven going, oh, myself, terrible things are happening? Yeah. Do you think God's worried? Sorry. Yeah, there you go. That's good. Well done. God's not worried. There's no crisis in heaven. There's no famine in heaven. There's no financial crisis in heaven. There is fullness and abundance. There are great big storehouses just waiting for us to reverse our lorry in Father and Son's business. And let's go and distribute the bounty of heaven. Well, hallelujah. So there's an invitation. I always amuse myself after 20 minutes and I go back to my notes and I've covered one line. God's good. I love it. I love this. I love this partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit, just to flow and hear what he's saying and release what he wants to say. There is an invitation. There is a process. Daniel, here I'll give you a scripture. Daniel 10, 12 and 13. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard and I have come because of your words. We know the story that Daniel prayed, God heard, but there was a delay. God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not his denials. There's just sometimes there's a process involved on his side to get to you, or on your side as God prepares you before he prepares the place for you. But one thing, some lovely fathers in the kingdom and brothers and sisters in the kingdom keep saying to us is, you don't realize what you carry. I'm thinking, no, I'm beginning to. You know, I sat on a stage in Cuba recently where we were ministering, and someone had carried a boy to the front, and he looked like a crippled boy to me. He was very skinny. He's 9 years old. He was carried in the arms of someone, looked paralyzed almost. And they sat him down. I sat down next to him. And Aki, the pastor's wife, came up and said, Alan, you need to pray for Dayan. He's just had an operation on his feet. And I could see some little stitches on his ankles. And so this great man of faith going, that's great. I'm going to pray for a supernatural acceleration of healing after his operation, knowing nothing about the situation. And that's what I understood, and that's what I prayed for. See, but God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine through his power at work in us. So I prayed for him, and then Anaki says, oh, now quickly pray for the mum. She's been so anxious and so distraught and so fearful, and she's struggled so hard to find treatment for her son. I'm going, oh, I'm starting to think there's more to this than I understood. And so, yeah, I prayed for her, and she starts weeping. And then before I've even said amen, and now you must pray for the daughter. She's suffering from rheumatic fever. She's in a lot of pain, so I start praying for her. As I'm praying for her, the guy that carried Dayan to the front stood him up. Amen. People in the church know the family, know the situation. They start getting very excited and thinking, oh, there is something going on. So I'm going, what's going on? And so Dayan, he stood here. I'm sat here, he stood here, and he starts doing this. And so here's the backstory, right? Since he was born, his feet have been deformed. They've been like this. He's never been able to stand unaided. Right? So his feet are like that. And his mum's trying to get help for him, couldn't get help. They eventually find a paediatrician who says, I can do an operation for you. And they do an operation to take his feet like that and make them like that. And there's screw, the stitches from the screws that are put into his feet to kind of lock him into place so he can stand up. This is 6 days before he sat next to me and I get to be the hand of Jesus. Prayer. Oh, Lord, would you heal him in Jesus' name? I have no idea. I'm not praying this commanding. I understand everything. I have words of knowledge that help me unlock this situation. I'm just faithfully going, God's the healer. And he's going to heal him. I'm just sure he's going to heal him. That's where I was at. And so he's never been able to stand up without help. He came in a wheelchair. He was carried to the front. He was in all sorts of pain from the surgery. And there he is doing this. See, in Cuba, they get really excited. The band come back up for about 5 or 10 minutes. I go, this is good. Tell me what's happened. Celebrating the testimony. And then he's doing this, walking up the stairs, walking up the stairs. And this is the thing that really got my heart. We're the team praying, imparting, praying for people, blessing them. And at the back, Diane's saying to him, Mum, take me to the front. Mum. Any mum that has a kid that's in a store and they want candy. Mum. I don't know how women have this kind of block to be able to just notch out that sound and ignore it when everyone else is around going, that's really annoying. Anyway, so I don't know why I said that. Just context, right? So he's going, Mum, take me to the front. He said, you can't go to the front. They're praying at the moment. He said, Mum, take me to the front. She says, why do you want to go to the front? He said, this is 9 years old. If you take me to the front, I'm going to get healed. So it wasn't Super Alan. I've come to Cuba. I'm going to check. It was a little boy who had faith for his own healing. If I can just touch the hem of his robe, I will be healed. I really learned something in that moment. And I'm so excited because we get to go. We get to be the distributors of the kingdom of heaven. See, in this hand, there is another hand, and it's got a hole in it. And there is another hand, and it's the hand of the Father. And there's another hand, and it's the Holy Spirit. So when we lay our hands on the sick, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are joining in. Or I'm actually joining in with them. Amazing. And so the church celebrated, and we celebrated, and we keep celebrating, and we keep telling the story, because the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And you just see a family. So the mum was set free, by the way, from all the fear, from all the anxiety. And the sister was totally healed of a rheumatic fever. We saw them several times over that weekend. And he walked into church on the Sunday. And that whole church exploded again. And they had the x-rays and everything. Amazing. So 6 days after surgery, after being in agony, he's walking and standing up. And running around. I'd say that's a bit of a miracle, really. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So good. Really good. Oh, wow. Another bit of piece of the puzzle. He wasn't supposed to stand on the feet for 4 months while his feet were recovering from surgery. But a 9-year-old knows better than a consultant pediatrician, apparently, because he's got faith in Jesus. And it's a church that hosts the presence of God, that celebrates his goodness. And in his presence is the power to heal. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is all we need. So if you host his presence, you're hosting God. The dream of my heart is that my house, the place that I live, would be a resting place of his presence. Then if there's a resting place of God's presence in my house, then there's a potential that my street could become a resting place of his presence. And my region in Shirley, where we live, could be a resting place of the presence, then the whole of my city would become a resting place of his presence. I like to call Southampton Revival Town. You may have heard of a this little, not well-known English band called Delirious. Some of you musicians here will have heard of them. They were just a phenomena. Not quite as successful as the Beatles, but in the kingdom, who knows? But their songs have gone all over the world, and they were a tour de force. And